Finally, Peter writes, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or revile for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, I've read scriptures like this, and so do a lot of us here tonight. And somehow, they have a difficult time being applied to situations that we just saw on the screen. We feel as though that our relationships with one another are not contained within the admonitions of Peter. How we respond to conflict, disagreement, disappointment is very important to God. Differing of opinions. We have two choices when this happens. We can either forgive and be merciful, allowing the conflict and the improper attitudes and behavior to be covered by the blood of Jesus and to release them. Or the other choice is this: to be reminded of the past failures and to remind the people of their wrongs and to let them know that they're responsible and hold each other hostage by laying blame at the feet of the person that you really love. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this: not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. I titled this message tonight, The Blessing Business. Because every one of us have been called by God to be a blesser, and to not curse, and to not allow evil out of our mouths, even when people hurt us and provoke us and push us around. The Bible says that we were called to blessing. Let me give you an idea of what that word means in the Greek. It is a compound word in the Greek, and we see it out of two words. One meaning good, E-U, and the other one, logos, word. So if you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible is simple. It says this, that you and I were called to blessing, or speaking a good word. We were called to release out of our mouths that, go back to the definition of the Greek, we were called to that which is good in our words. So no evil words are to proceed out of our mouth. Only good words. And as soon as I say that, my objection is this. Yeah, but what if they say to you first? Or what if they betray you? Or what if they do you wrong? Or what happens if they deserve it because they were a thief? They stole from me. Don't I have now a right to be able to say the truth and misrepresent them to someone else? Can't I tell everybody how they hurt me? Let's look at the scripture again. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. There's that word. On the contrary, a good word. That's what you and I were called to. We were called to this, that we may inherit the blessing ourself. Now, this takes great discipline in the Holy Spirit, and I want to share with us a simple little pattern tonight to be able to check ourselves when we get ourselves caught up in those kind of scenarios. Sometime they happen because somebody blew the candle out that you wanted burning. Sometime it happens because you didn't leave me a piece of pizza and you ate it all. Sometimes it happens because you forgot to pick me up, or you left the door locked and I didn't have my key and I told you. Or like today, we had a funny little thing happen. I asked my wife this morning, I think it was, or last night, to take two t-shirts back to the store and get a different size. and she took them back and she exchanged them for something else completely. When she said, "Here, I've got something for you," I looked at him. I said, "What is that? Where's my t-shirts?" She said, "I didn't know you wanted the t-shirts." She said, "I thought you wanted these. I got these for you." And I'm thinking, "No, yeah, you were not listening to me." Now, I could have allowed that. We could have allowed that. Thank God our relationship is beyond that. For me to get upset about it and say something that would provoke her. If an evil word would have come out of my mouth, or reviling in any way would have come out of my mouth, she could have returned that evil for another evil. Guess what we would have had? We would have had the display that we just saw on the screen. And as believers, we weren't called to that. That's not what we're called to. We are called to bless. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, and be courteous." I'm just going to grab this water real quick. It says, all of you, be of one mind. Now, let's take a look at this tonight. Because Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, the same kind of admonition. And you know, when you begin to look at a principle in the scripture, pardon my throat tonight. From time to time this happens, and I just have to work through it, so if you'll have patience with me. But Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 19, "Repay no one evil for evil." No one means no one, right? "Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Now, when we read these scriptures, I'm making an appeal to you. I'm making an appeal to the body of Christ that we have to let offenses go. That we can no longer speak evil of one another, even if it's the truth. That's not our calling. Our calling is to speak blessing, good words, right? That's what it says. Now look at verse 16 of Romans 12. "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica in his first letter, chapter 5 and verse 15. A very similar admonition. This is what he says. "See that no man render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." What was happening in that scenario that we just saw up on the screen? Insensitivity to one another's need. A lack of compassion. A lack of tenderheartedness. Now, how can that be present in a person who confesses Christ? You see, I think what often happens is we allow our carnal nature to respond without even thinking about our calling. So we're going to look at this tonight to develop a strategy to defeat the carnal response when someone provokes us. I think we can do it. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Jesus said, "I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, Jesus would have not told us to do these things if it wasn't possible. He told us to do this because it is possible that you and I can do this. And he modeled this for us. It is an aspiration of a believer. It ought to be something that we aspire to. I want to live this way. I want to make certain that anytime I may be provoked, I don't return evil for evil. There are five key words that produce unity. Because we see in our text that we were to be we are called to be of one mind, having compassion for one another, loving as brothers, being tenderhearted and being courteous. And here's what we see. Number one, be of one mind. Be of one mind. And what that promotes is not only unity, but oneness in thought. So when I'm engaged with someone that I can potentially have a conflict with, whether it's my wife or whether it's a friend or whether it's a business partner or whomever it might be, I want to preserve the unity at all cost. Now, there's a reason why unity is so essential. We'll get to that in a minute. But the way the unity is built, it's built on the fabric, first of all, of unity of thought. So in other words, when I'm engaged with you and you are having a conflict, you're upset about the candle being burned out, or you're upset about the fact that I don't do anything around the house, I need to somehow engage in the thought level that you're having. I need to begin to be one with your thoughts. I need to begin to think the way you think instead of oppose the way you think. I need to become one with the way you think. And so I say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand how he's thinking right now, what she's thinking right now. Secondly, I need to be compassionate. So the scripture is calling me to be compassionate, not only oneness in thought, but oneness in feeling. I need to begin to feel what it's like. What you're expressing to me right now is obviously a place of pain in your life, or it's a place of discomfort in your life. And I need to begin to get in touch with that. I need to get unified with that. I need to become one with what you're feeling. So I say, Lord, help me to feel their frustration right now. Whether they're treating you in a mean way, or they're ignoring you, or they're railing at you, I want to become one in thought, and I want to become one in feeling. Thirdly, I want to be in love with you. I want to be in love with you. God called me to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, strength, and my neighbor as myself. I've been called to love. So I have to be oneness in love. I've got to be in love with you. So I don't even know them. Why would I be in love with them? Because God loves them. And God called me to love you. God called me to love every person in this region. I don't care who they are, what they do or haven't done, or how much money they have or don't have, or what education level they have, or who knows them, or what they can do for me or can't do for me. It's not qualified love. It's a fact that I've been called to love them. So I need to be in love. So I need to be unified. In other words, oneness in the Spirit. To be in love is to be one in the Spirit. I want to be one in the Spirit with you. When you're talking about my relationship with my wife, I want to be one in thought with her. I want to be one in her feelings. And I want to be one in her spirit. I want to be one in spirit. So obviously, the enemy uses circumstances and our flesh to do what? To divide us in our spirit. To divide us in our thoughts, to divide us in our feelings, for me to have hatred for you, whether that be maritally, whether that be racially, whether that be tribally, whatever it is, to put some kind of animosity between us so that I feel justified in hating you. That's a work of the enemy. And it's the opposite of my calling. God called me to bless, which is good words. God's called me to release good words out of my mouth. That's my calling. You know, so many Christians want to know what their calling is. I want to know if I'm called to preach. I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to teach. I'm called to sing. I'm called to do that. You're called to speak well. If you can't do that, let's worry about the other stuff later. Right? Because the Bible is clear, we're called to speak good words. Why? So we can inherit our own blessing. There's the key. I want to be blessed of God. I want to be empowered to prosper. But in order to do that, I've got to learn how to speak good words, whatever situation may erupt. Let's go on. Number four, be tenderhearted. So now I have to be tenderhearted. This is helping me to understand how not to return evil for evil, so that I can become one not only in thought, not only in feeling, not only in spirit, but in deed. I want to be one in deed, one in action with you. We're raising these children together. So we are one in our acts together. This is our church. We're ministering together in this church. We're not against each other. If there's division in the church, if we're arguing against each other, it is a work of the enemy. It is our responsibility to speak good of one another and be one in our actions, one with another. And then number five, be humble. Be humble. It's oneness in attitude. And isn't attitude everything? The other morning, Tina knows I love candles, and it's interesting that that candle is up there because I burn candles a lot. And sometimes I don't because I don't have matches and I don't go mess with it. And it's where I read my Bible and I like to have the scent, and it's just like looking at the flame. And I got up, and she happened to be up before me, I think. I can't remember, right? I think you were up before me. And so I came downstairs and I went into my little prayer chamber, and guess what? There were three candles burning. And it communicated to me her thinking about me. Now, what do you think it would have done to her if I would have walked in and said, "What are you blowing those candles up for? Nobody even down there. You're just burning them for nothing. I was upstairs. You knew I was up there. What's the matter with you? Weren't you thinking?" That would have been dumb. That would not have been a good thing for me. But you see, there was an effort to become of one in thought, one in feeling, one in spirit, one in deed, one in attitude. And the attitude was one of humility, one of service. And the response, of course, has to be humble and response in service as well. You see, Psalm 133 said, where the unity of the brethren is, God commands the blessing. And so the commanded empowerment to succeed comes when we're unified. And the only way we can stay unified is if we speak good words. Now, this is not an easy thing to do, especially when you have rebellious teenagers or an obstinate coworker or marital strife. It's very difficult. But the Bible would not have instructed us to do this if we couldn't be empowered to do it. And so what I believe we need to do is go to the Lord in prayer and say, "Father, okay, I'm supposed to be kind, I'm supposed to be tenderhearted, I'm supposed to be compassionate, I'm supposed to be one in mind, one in deed, one in feeling, one in spirit, one in attitude with my spouse. Therefore, I need you to show me how to do this. I need to operate this way because this is the ministry of Jesus." I was reading this morning, I'm going through the Gospels again. And when Jesus was being tried, you know, in Caiaphas's court, they were asking him questions. He said, they answered him not a word. Jesus didn't say a word. He's like, "What do you mean say a word? You're the Son of God. Let him know. You know, tell him who you are. Do something." And he didn't even respond. You know, that gave me a little more confidence in what he said in Matthew 5:44. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because he said, "Bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you for my name's sake." Wow. You know, I'd love to illustrate it. I'd love to have Mark come up here and slap me as hard as he could in the face and then let me turn my other cheek. But I don't think I'm that strong in the spirit yet. Or ask for volunteers. Can I get a volunteer? Let me smack you really good. But we've been called to bless. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 reads this way. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." He was saying this: live wisely, not with selfish love. Not with selfish love, but live wisely. And the way we live wisely, the way we maximize our days, is to refrain our tongue from speaking evil. And it's not just speaking, you know, like swear words or lack of faith or complaining. Those are bad enough, but it's words that are evil when we speak it towards someone else. When we don't bless a person or give good words, we're speaking evil words. And when we release evil words, it puts a block in the empowerment for success in our own life, which is an incredible truth. And it also makes life hard. You say, yeah, but they're making life hard for me. They stole my money. They lied to me. They cheated me. They're not living right. They're saying one thing and doing another. Somebody needs to tell somebody about this. You ever have that kind of a circumstances? And so now you go around telling everybody what kind of a mean person they are, what kind of an evil person they are, and you spread this evil around. And that puts a block on your inherited blessing. And we really are not responding to the calling that's on our life to speak good. You know, there's always some good you can find about somebody. I mean, if all you can do is say, those are the coolest shoestrings I've ever seen in my life. You know, if that's all you can say. But aren't we programmed to find the negative and then release it? That's our carnal nature. Our carnal nature needs to tell you what we don't like. Some of us aren't bold enough to tell you and by your face, to face to face. We tell others when you're not around. And we speak evil of one another. And it's the antithesis of our calling. Church, let's look at the next scripture. Verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you with me so far? Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now, you know what's interesting about this chapter in 1 Peter 3? It's talking about marriage in the first part of it. Did you know that? It's talking about let a wife not be adorned on the external only, you know, but all that kind of stuff. But then Peter switches and he said, now this is for the rest of the body as well. So yeah, it applies for marriage, but this is actually how we are to, this is the standard of relationship in the body of Christ. That verse 11 says, let him turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. In the original Greek, it means this. Let him seek peace as it was a hidden treasure and pursue it with such vigor as if it was trying to escape his grasp. So the Lord's saying, I just don't want you to speak good occasionally when you have a chance and you're having a good day. I want you to do it like it's a hidden treasure and you're after it and somebody's trying to take it from you and you're trying to pursue it with everything in you. That's the kind of level of intensity I expect from you. Every day of our life. We have a new convert in the West. He's kind of raw around the edges, you know. His family's raw around the edges too, but he's pursuing God with all his heart. And he called Pastor Troy the other day and he said, Pastor Troy, he said, I heard Pastor's message the other day about doing good to people. I don't know what I was preaching on, but he said, I'm going to find a widow today and I'm going to go and I'm going to do something for this widow. I'm going to help this widow. And Pastor Troy said, well, that's great, you know. God bless you, thinking, well, okay, how are you going to find a widow? Calls back the next day. He said, Pastor Troy, you won't believe it. I found a widow. And I fixed her door or her windows or something, because he's a contractor kind of guy. He said, I fixed her door and I fixed her windows. He said, well, how'd you find her? He goes, you won't believe it. I was working on somebody's house, and the lady next door was a widow. And I said, this is God. And he just engaged in good to her. And he's like flying on cloud number 9. You know what it did to his day by doing good? It caused his day to be expanded to live life in the fullest. When we speak evil, it contracts our day. It puts us in a little container of misery. And we live there all by ourselves. And we want somebody else to come in there and be as miserable as we are. And when you're miserable, you don't like people that aren't miserable. Right? You don't like people that are happy and singing Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's like, get away from me. Look at verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Think about that. To do evil is to speak anything but good about another or to another. Well, so I've never thought of that as being evil, Pastor. Well, the context of this whole scripture is relationship. And he says, when you do evil, the face of the Lord, let's see, what does it say? Is against those? The face of the Lord is against those who do evil? That couple on that screen who were going through a very difficult time in their marriage, he didn't realize what he was sowing into that relationship, did he? He actually was turning the face of the Lord against him. Do you ever notice that when you get caught up in that kind of a railing and reveling and evil speaking, that it only seems to escalate and spiral and it gets worse and it gets worse? The face of the Lord is turned against you. You're on your own. I know some people who have become so corrupted by their own words, speaking evil of other people, that's all they can do. That's all they think. That's all they breathe. That it possesses them. There's no relief. All they do is live this kind of misery every day of their life. They wake up with it. They go to church with it. They go to the grocery store with it. They go to work with it. They come home with it. It doesn't matter what happens, what TV show is on, what conversation they have. It all comes back to misery. Psalm 46 and verse 1 to 3 says this: God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. He said, the Lord is a present help in trouble. So if I'm in a point of conflict, the Lord is present and he can help me in this trouble. I need to preserve oneness. I need to preserve the bond of peace. I am a peacemaker. I am one that is for unity. I cannot allow this strife and this evil to come into this relationship. I'm not called to this. I'm called to speak good. You have to be convinced of that, or subtly these circumstances will erupt and you'll find yourself right in the middle of it. Take it from a person who knows. I've been caught up in it many times. It's real easy to, especially when your emotions get involved and you get angry. You begin to say things that you'll regret. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he said, not returning evil for evil. That word not is interesting because it implies this: to stop something that is already in progress. What he was saying is, I don't want you to return evil for evil or reviling against reviling. But on the contrary, I want you to speak good. In other words, he's saying, you know what? You're already doing this. Now stop it. Well, that gives me hope, though, because when I read that, I think, I'm not the only one. Because the word comes across and says, it's not that if you do this. He says, you're doing it, so I want you to stop it. That word not says something that is already in progress. Then he uses the word returning. The word returning in the Greek means this: sending back what was sent to you. We are not to send back what was sent to us. Well, I hate you. Well, I hate you. You know what it's like to put out a house fire, to pull a little body out of the water, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but you don't clean the house. I do all the dishes. I do all the laundry. You're sending it back. And the scripture says, when it's sent, don't send it back. And that is the most difficult thing to do unless you have a mentality that you were called to speak good and that you will preserve the bond of unity at all costs. Because I know the commanded blessing is in unity and I want the empowerment of God in my life. Therefore, I will not forfeit it because of what your little tyrant, your tirade that you're going through right now. I'm not allowing the enemy to use this circumstance to get me off of my calling and out of my operational ministry of what God has placed on my life. This is not going to suck me in. It's almost you have to get up in the morning and say, okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank that you have empowered me to prosper. I thank you, Lord, that you have called me to bless and not to curse, that the words of my mouth are for good and not for evil. So today, Father, I purpose in my heart, if I am reviled, not to revile in return. almost have to get ready. Because the day is full of evil. And it's sucking in the church left and right. It's sucking in the body of Christ. We have way too much marriage counseling in the church. Because we're out of our calling. How can you need marriage counseling if you're following your calling? I'm called to speak good. What would you need to be counseled for if all you do is speak good to your husband? How to speak better? Okay, I can help you with that. But if you're speaking good to her and he's speaking good to you, why would you need a counselor? Right? But we have been seduced and deceived because the days are evil. And everybody speaks evil. Well, don't let me get too personal. Offenses will come in the last day. And I believe the longer you hold on to it, the deeper its roots grow into your spirit. And it turns into bitterness. I have to let offenses go. When Tina handed me these, it was so cute. When she handed me these little like sweatpants, because I was looking at them in the store the other day, and I thought, well, I'd really like to have a pair of those, or nice and light. I said, but man, there's no way I'm going to spend $50 on those. That's like way too much. So I just dismissed it. And then when I asked her to take these T-shirts back that were too small, and I needed a bigger size, and she didn't hear that part. She just took them back because she was thinking about getting me something that I would want that I would never buy for myself. So it was an act of service towards me. So I have to think like she thinks, you see, oneness of thought. If I don't get in oneness of thought with her and oneness of attitude of humility, and she was trying to serve me. And for me to cop an attitude when she comes in, I said, what do you mean? I didn't take my shirts back. I told you to take the shirts back. I don't want these. How do you think she's going to feel? All because I've aborted my calling. We put our feelings, attitudes, our thoughts, our spirits, we put everything above our calling. I'm called to preach. And did you know that that is my first priority in my life? I am called to pastor. Pastoring is the number one. And I'm so called to it. I have to often be told by my children, Dad, you need to put us first once in a while. Because I'm so called to it, it has to come first. So I'm thinking that I can do this and this and this. And then maybe my family, too, my family kind of raises their hand and goes, wait a minute, Dad. Wait a minute. No. They got you for 6 days. We want you here. You're coming here. And I said, what's the big deal? I'll be there just a little bit late. It's like fire coming out of their eyes. So sometimes I go too far in my calling. And I think that we would be best served if we went a little bit further in our calling to bless. Instead of speaking evil. You know, I've been in church ministry for 34 years, and the only church problems I've ever had is when people don't speak good about each other. I've never had two families come to me and say, they're just talking too nice to us, and you know what? We can't stand it anymore. I've never had that happen. never had that happen. He goes on to say, not returning evil. The word evil in the Greek means this: insult, injury, hurt, or damage. In other words, I'm not to return insult when he's insulted me. I'm not to return injury or hurt or damage when they've damaged me. I'm not to return. They say, well, yeah, but Lord, how? They can't get away with that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Because if you put them in the hands of God, they need mercy. You don't want them to get what they deserve. So, Lord, please, Lord, show them mercy, God. Don't judge them for what they've just done and what they've said and how they've treated us and maligned us. And Tina and I have seen this over the years in ministry. You get plenty of opportunities to bless those who have spoken evil about you. And spread false rumors about you. And say things that are just not true. Whether it's how many suits you own, or how much money you have, how many houses you own, or how much money you're taking out of the offering, or you name it. I mean, it's been, all this stuff has been said. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going to let them know. I'm going to go over there and let them a piece of my mind. He said, bless them, pray for them. And then I began to get in oneness of thought and oneness of spirit with them and oneness of attitude. And I began to think about how important it is to maintain the oneness of feeling and what they must be going through to say such hurtful and painful things. And God, I need to pray for them because they are obviously a hurting person. Because only hurting people try to hurt other people. So now I have compassion. And that's exactly what the Bible said for me to have, is compassion. As a matter of fact, this is what Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 reads for us. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with you, from you. With all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, I can say that to some people who are so angry at someone else, and they will say, I don't care what the Bible says. They hurt me. And I plead with them, please, you're destroying your own life. Come in line with what God's saying. Don't do this. You don't want to go there. You don't want to return evil for evil. You were called to bless, that you may inherit the blessing. And it's like a veil is over their eyes. They're like blinded by the God of this world. So here's a proper response. Here's something that I've tried to do, and I'm not successful at it all the time. I'm getting better at it, and I'm hoping by the time I go to heaven, I'll get this down. All right? Here's the first thing that I try to do. I try to define my role. When someone comes and says something to me that provokes my carnal nature, when my wife does something and I'm like, oh, or my kids do something, or, you know, something happens, somebody pulls off and cuts me off in the road, and I get provoked, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. I try to define my role. I say, wait a minute, Kayton, you were called to bless. Your flesh desires to curse. Who are you going to obey? I've been called to bless. I'm going to operate in my blessing, in my calling. Number two, I would like to perceive the situation accurately. I want to take a look at it. Like, for example, the silly story about the two shirts that Tina was going to take back, and she ended up with a pair of sweatpants that I really don't need, but they're nice anyway. Now I don't have the t-shirts to work out in tomorrow. I was going to wear a new t-shirt to my workout in the morning. Now I can't wear it. Goofy. First of all, I would recognize I was called to bless. Number two, I had to perceive the situation accurately. I had to ask the Holy Spirit to give me his perspective of her intention. Her intention wasn't to deny me the right to sport a brand new t-shirt at workout tomorrow. That wasn't her intention. So I have to have the proper perspective. I have to get the perception of the Holy Spirit of the situation. So here's what I do. Holy Spirit, show me something that I'm not seeing here. Give me her perspective. Give me his perspective in this. So now I know I'm called to bless. Now I've got a different perspective. Number three, I choose to release a blessing. In other words, I have two choices. I'm either going to forgive, be merciful, and allow the conflict and the improper attitudes of the behavior that was demonstrated to me to be covered by the blood of Jesus, or I'm going to be reminded of the past failures and the hurts and the wrongs and the damage done, and I'm going to hold them hostage by laying blame at their feet every chance I get. So I'm going to choose to release a blessing. The words of love, not hate. Words of belief, not suspicion. Words of hope and not condemnation. And I can say that in an environment that I was raised in, my parents hated some people. And I learned how to hate. My parents were suspicious of everybody's motive, and I learned how to be suspicious. My parents were people who didn't have much hope. They were very negative. And condemnation was something you lived with all the time. So it's real easy for me in my calling to bless to have difficulty to choose to release a blessing. Because they really are trying to manipulate this situation. And you know what? They need to. They deserve it. Because they've been mean to me and they've been hurtful to me. And somebody needs to confront these people. Because this is ridiculous. And you can justify it all day long. But it has nothing to do with the calling to choose to release a blessing. And then finally, I stay in the blessing business. Because I don't want to come up and go, "Oh, hon, that was so cute. Thank you for these pants. I'm so glad you got them. You don't remember me." She goes, "You didn't tell me that." Then she challenged me. She said, "You didn't tell me to take the shirts back. You just said exchange them." I said, "No, I remember telling you." I said, "Now you're messing with me. I'm choosing to bless. You better let it go right there. Don't be messing with me." And I said, "Don't you remember I told you they were kind of like a little small, I mean, a little tight, but they would probably fit okay, but I was concerned that if I washed them once and then a little light came on." She goes, "Oh, yeah, I think I remember you saying something like that." I had to stay in the blessing business. I can't go back tomorrow morning after I get back out of my workout wearing that holy old T-shirt that I have. And I walk in, and when she gets up and I go, "Baby, if you'd have got me those T-shirts, I could have been looking really good this morning." I got to let it go. Everybody say, "Let it go." You know, most of us can't let things go because you got to stay in the blessing business, right? I'm going to stay in the blessing business. I don't allow the devil to rule through my flesh. Jesus forbids revenge in word or in deed. I was with a large Pentecostal denomination for 15 years. I was having a lot of difficulty with them. They didn't like our worship style. They thought we were too aggressive. And some of the guest speakers I had in were too faith-oriented and whatever. And they were constantly calling me in and talking to me and saying, no, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, okay, you know. And it got to a point where we just didn't know what to do because we couldn't come to any agreement. And I found the scripture in Romans 12 that says, "As much as it depends on you, my brethren, be at peace with all men." And so you know what I determined to do is to remove myself because my presence was not creating peace in their life. So I just removed myself. You know, sometimes you just have to walk away. Just walk away. I don't need to engage this. I don't need to try to convince you that I'm a nice person or that you should like me or that you're not a good Christian. I don't need to do any of that. I just walk away. So you just want to stay in your calling to be a blessing, to speak. Put the Greek word back up if you can again, please. To be, you and I were called to bless. A compound word, two parts. You probably recognize logos as word, E-U, good. That's where we get that Greek word. I was called to speak good words. You know, if you begin practicing this, you'll feel the Holy Spirit anointing. Because God always anoints what he calls. You want a greater anointing, a greater sense of God's presence? Begin operating in this call, and you'll begin feeling a greater anointing in your life. Jesus said this, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also." I tell you not to resist an evil person. In other words, he was saying, don't throw back evil for the evil they threw at you. It's not who you are. When you and I operate like that, we look like the world. And we are a different people. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to resist that. And say, "I bless you in Jesus' name." Sometimes through tears, because you're hurt. You're betrayed. You feel like you've been lied on and and people have you know, really brought pain to your life, but you do it because you love Jesus. I do this because I'm serving him. And thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to experience the goodness of the Lord today. And I release good. How do we overcome evil? Isn't it powerful? You overcome evil with good. And that's what we've been called to do. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I know that many of us have had conflicts and we've had challenges with maritally or families, children. It doesn't really matter. But a lot of us have had many, many, many conflicts and people that even maybe tonight are still talking mean and speaking about us in derogatory ways, that are spreading rumors and lies and saying things that are not true. And so, Father, tonight, help us to respond according to our call. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, would you right now help us to define our role? Help us, Holy Spirit, to perceive the situation accurately, to choose to release a blessing and to stay in the blessing business. Lord, I know that we as a people can do this, and this will be a great sign. It'll be a great testimony of your power. Thank you, Lord. And so now, Father, I pray for every person to be empowered with this call in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand up. How many know that when Jesus comes, we won't know the moment or the hour? Do you know that? You know that? Okay. I said it kind of humorously last week. I certainly don't want to have on a Dracula outfit if he were to come today. Right. And that probably won't happen. But I certainly don't want to be railing at my wife when he comes. Or talking at Starbucks with a few people about some other church people. Or saying to my wife in the privacy of our bedroom how much I hate my former business partners or my former church members or my neighbor or whomever it is. I don't want Jesus to come and for those words to be released out of my mouth. I want him to find me in my calling. When I pray in the morning, I say, Lord, help me to be a good pastor today. I don't want to fail you, and I don't want to fail the people. Help me to be a good pastor. I want to be found in my calling when you come. I don't want to be doing this on the side and doing that on the side and this business and this situation and this development. If they're called to do that, that's up to them. But I want to stay focused on my call. I want to be found in my calling. And every one of us as Christians have been called to speak good. Would you make that a prayer tonight? That Jesus, when he comes, will be finding you in your calling. Will you do that? Let's lift our hands up and tell him that. Come on. Just speak to the Lord right there. You can lead us in a worship song. Come on. Just speak to the Lord right there. Yes, God. That's where I want to be found. 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 In my calling tonight, God, that's where I want to be found. I want to be operating in it. I want to be speaking good. I'm not going to return evil for evil. I'm not going to allow this thing to get a hold of me, God, and my flesh to rise up, God. I'm just going to worship you. And I want to be found true when you come. When the trumpet sounds, Lord, I want you to be proud of where you find me. I want to occupy my place in the kingdom of God when you come again, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's close this by worshiping him and singing this. Lord, I want to be your sanctuary. Yeah, that's a good song. Come on, let's worship.